Welcome to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I am your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is Kimberly McCourtney from Alaska Mill and Feed. Welcome, Kimberly.
Hi, Amy. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm so glad you're here.
Excellent.
Before we jump in, I have a couple of quick announcements for folks. Coming up in March, March 8th and 9th, the Alaska Food Festival and Conference is being held down in Homer. And I want that to be on folks' radar because it's going to be an incredible gathering of farmers market vendors and foodies and food policy people, etc., etc. The registration is now open online. Search for Alaska Food Festival for more information on that. So I just wanted to throw that out there to folks. Now we'll start with you. So Alaska Mill and Feed, with so many things, so many questions, so much to talk about with it. But I always start with talking to my guests about them and their connection to Alaska and their connection to this agriculture endeavor. So tell us a little about yourself.
Perfect. So nothing super special about me. I'm a farm kid out of Michigan.
Okay.
We had about 700 acres. We had dairy cows, always had chickens and geese,
okay.
Showed quarter horses growing up.
Nice.
Typical on the farm, it didn't kill you, it made you stronger, and you have fun stories to tell about
Absolutely.
Growing up. And I always just kind of feel sad if people don't have that background and experience growing
Absolutely.
Up because it just shapes your whole world.
Yeah, I agree, 100%. And you know farm kids when you're around them too, right? They're
it's
easy to pick
easy.
Out of a crowd.
They're the ones working hard and dirty usually.
Right. Yeah.
So I went to Michigan State. I have a degree in animal science and okay. a minor in biological and natural science.
Okay.
Was super vet bound
yeah.
for large animal and graduated in 3.5 years.
Oh, wow.
With B grades, and
yeah.
it wasn't good enough to get in.
No way.
Yeah. So there was no plan B. So went to work on a farm, had
okay.
Working cow horses, trained, that sort of thing, and then
yeah.
worked for a not-for-profit for a short time. Like any true Alaskan story, followed a boy. And,
yes.
And the ventures begin.
Okay.
Yep. So we've been up here since 2007.
Okay.
And I've been with Alaska Mill and Feed since March of 2011. So I'm coming up on an anniversary.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. And it just feels like home.
I bet.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, wow, that's interesting. I guess I knew you were from the Midwest, but I didn't realize you had so many farm connections. And what a bummer to have not been accepted into vet school. Man.
It's okay. I
yeah.
feel like I'm in a really good place.
Yeah,
and
I bet.
The education and the background that I have makes me really relatable to our customers.
Absolutely.
And it really gives me a solid foundation in education that I'm able to use that and help people in the present.
Yeah, very cool. So there's so many different pieces to the Alaska Mill and Feed story to tell, but I feel like we should start in the beginning long before you and I were in Alaska, right? So what can you tell us about the beginning of Alaska Mill and Feed, and we'll kind of transition over time to the big change that you guys just went through here recently,
yes.
and we'll end up there somewhere. But let's start in the beginning.
Okay. So again, that great Alaskan story, right? Don
yeah.
Donatello was up here after the war, met somebody, fell in love, super Alaskan in nature, entrepreneurial, never a problem he couldn't solve or figure out a solution for, and
yeah.
his business continued to evolve. So the original name of the company was Don's Chemical.
Oh, okay.
Started in 1950.
Wow.
Yeah, so super long history. We went through a ton of different transitions, right? In 1954, we built a rendering plant. We were actually gathering tallow and meat mills and shipping that down to Seattle.
Really?
Rendering meat and shipping it out. We owned
wow.
The meat processing plant for a while.
Okay.
In 1964, we built our feed mill.
Okay.
So that's the actually only FDA-approved feed mill in the state to this day.
Wow.
So big history there.
Yeah.
In 1965, we actually, Don Donatello won the Small Businessman of the Year from President Johnson.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we have this incredible plaque,
yeah.
pictures of the family and the Sherwoods and all the Donatello girls that everybody knows, Liz and Margaret, when
yeah.
they were just little bitty at the White House.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Super cool.
So it's kind of
Has
like walking
through a
museum.
Has any other Alaska business ever won an award like that?
I'm not sure.
Huh. Very
Though,
cool.
Though Al at Anchor Point Greenhouse the other day called and was having a conversation with one of my gals in the front office and shared a story about how Don Donatello formulated chicken feed. His dad used to have 17,000 chickens.
I know.
And he won two awards in the 1960s for highest chicken producers in the States.
Okay. Yeah. I had Al on the show a couple of months ago, and I could not believe the numbers he was throwing around.
It's so fun to hear stories like that. It's just a part of who we are in the state, and I love that heritage, and it's something that I hope that we continue to build on in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that brings us only up to the 70s.
Yeah, right. Still long before you and
I
were here, right?
So then our retail store, which is sort of our face and our main brand, everybody knows and loves the mill.
Yeah.
So that opened in 1977.
Okay.
And then in 1979, we opened our fertilizer plant.
Okay.
And I was going through some archive things last summer and found pictures of Jay Hammond and the ribbon cutting. And so there's just this incredible history that continues to move forward with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then let's see what's next. We were a really big part in the early 80s of the Delta Barley Project.
Right.
So we still, to this day, contract our barley, oats, and peas out of Delta.
Okay.
And so as we continue to grow, we kind of give those numbers to our producers and help them grow.
Yeah.
So it was fun. Two summers ago, I think, I was up and kicked around with Mike Schultz all day in his truck and drove around farmland. Got to get out and swing gates for him.
Cool.
It was like being on the farm again.
See where all that product comes from, though. I think there are many Alaskans, particularly down here in South Central, who don't realize that incredible amount of production that goes on in Delta Junction. They've maybe heard of it or think about it, but there are farms in Delta Junction, you know, thousands of acres farms. And
gorgeous country just to sit there and in a truck and see the mountains in the background. And it's farming unlike anywhere else.
Agreed.
Yeah.
There's a reason that all those people came from the lower 48 during that particular ag project when they were developing that land. Because I think once you see it, you're just like, wow.
Yeah.
It's worth living in Delta Junction to have a farm here, right? No. My bias shows a little bit. Yeah.
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 Yep. So that's part of our fun history. And then kind of that 90s till recently, you know, our business, our wholesale business just keeps developing pet food, pet supplies.
Yeah.
We work with the PMC and native seed growers. So we do a lot of DOT work for revegetation.
Oh, nice.
So that's in just another area, you know, of the agriculture world that we connect to.
Yeah. I didn't realize that you guys were involved with that, but I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. The PMC is a really great partner for us. We send a lot of our grains there for them to test.
Sure.
They're really an important part of the agriculture industry.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see through the next administration some of the suggested changes to the Plant Material Center, I think, would scare producers across the state. So we'll see how things happen.
Yeah. We've always been a big advocate for them.
Good.
And we continue to be.
Good.
For sure.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? We worked ahead, back to the feed mill, ahead of FDA regulation and removed all antibiotics from our feeds and medications back in 2013.
Okay.
Started to see the buzz and the trends, and so produced a whole line of animal feed that didn't have corn or soy.
Okay.
A lot of that's driven around allergies and people with concerns with GMOs.
Yeah.
So
a lot of
we continue to improve feeds and meet demands as they come.
I think a lot of discerning pet owners feed their pets better than they feed themselves sometimes, right?
Yeah. I think in the earthquake, too, we have a line of dehydrated and freeze-dried food that's all meat. And we've been out in the back country before, and I'm telling you what – if that's all that's left, I would eat it.
Yeah, you'd eat it. It's safe. You know it's safe to eat.
Absolutely.
Well, a quick interruption to remind folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I am your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the station this morning is Kimberly McCourtney from Alaska Mill and Feed. And so where are we at on the timeline? Like, are we in the current era? Or?
I think we're in our current era, yeah. And a lot of exciting things have happened even in the last 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
In 2016, we were the Made in Alaska Manufacturer of the Year.
Okay. For a particular product or just in general?
In general, okay. Across the whole line, we actually have about 11 trademarked items that we produce.
Yeah. Yeah. All feeds?
No, feed, ice melt, fertilizer, wild bird, specifically blended for Alaska, our grass seed packages.
Yeah.
It's really fun. When you start there, you just kind of think of the mill. And then when you take what you learn and you go out into the world to other retailers in Alaska and you think, wow, we make that. We make that.
Yeah.
We make that. And you just generally carry this sense of pride and ownership with you.
Yeah.
Which is a great segue into, in 2016, we transferred from being family owned into being employee owned.
Right.
So I thought that that was a beautiful transition of all of that history and heritage.
Yeah.
That the Donatello family cared so much about this business in the state that they didn't want to sell it to a group of investors or just dismantle the business.
Yeah,
it was about our history and our customers and the environment that we create.
That's awesome.
And then the employees that put their work and their soul into that to help the customers.
Yeah. How many employees does the mill have?
72 currently.
Oh, wow.
And then we kind of have seasonal swells during garden season and then during Christmas trees.
Right. Yeah. What would you say the mill is most known for?
Gosh.
Unfair question.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I love everything about the mill. So mostly I think that during the garden season, you know the greenhouses are set up. Seasonally, people think about us for Christmas trees.
Absolutely.
Year round, I think that our specialty is knowledgeable staff. Mm-hmm. So pet food recommendations. We have an amazing kitchen and gift section.
You do.
Yeah. So that's something cool that gifts. We're always trying to be on trend. One of the things for the retail store that we're kind of working on is really, again, coming back to this local agriculture. So we're going to create these little sections. And we have a lot of this already in store, but just making it more known. So how to make kombucha and syruping. We've got a cheese-making class coming up.
Oh, nice.
So there's just all of these areas where we're still about that education and teaching people how to be self-sufficient and staying on these trends.
I love it. Very, very good. In case someone has been living under a rock and they don't know where Alaska Mill and Feed is located, talk to us about your location a little bit.
We are in classic Alaska, at Anchorage. We are down on First and Orca.
Okay.
So down below Merrill Fields.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of in that port area.
Yeah, kind of that industrial section of town down below. Yep.
And you can see us from the hill. You can see the big red buildings.
Big red buildings.
Yep,
in
the barn.
Yep. And do you have an online presence? Does that presence have a shopping component? Can people shop the mill online?
You can shop the mill online.
Okay.
We have a bush order department.
Okay.
We are building our shoppable website more and more.
Okay.
This last year, we started doing home delivery.
Oh, really?
Which is growing, and we love it, and we're just not keeping pace with, of course, everybody would love to get their pots and their soil and
all the
their chicken
delivered.
Food and that kitchen gadget that they absolutely love.
Yeah.
So that area is growing exponentially for us. But initially it's just it's pet food specific right now.
Yeah. Okay. And what is the website, just in case people don't have to search?
www.alaskamillandfeed.com.
Okay.
All spelled out.
Okay. Perfect. alaskamillandfeed.com. Very good. So I love to come to the mill, like you mentioned, the retail section of the store where you have the kitchen section and just the home goods and the gardening and all that. Like it's got a great atmosphere. And I think that you guys do such a good job of having all the things that you wouldn't think of that I need, but then you're like, oh man, I have to have this, and unique items that aren't available in other places, and brands that you don't see in other spots. You also carry, if I'm not mistaken, a number of other Alaskan products, like products created by Alaskans. Am I right in that
yes,
you're showcasing
absolutely.
Other Alaskan stuff?
Yeah, whether it's pet items or the Delta barley.
Yeah.
We have honeys and jams.
Yeah.
This last year for Christmas, we brought in a a bunch of homemade mittens that were wool.
Yeah.
So anything like that, we like to support our fellow Alaskans.
Yeah. And are you looking for other products? Like if we have other producers of small goods or value-added products, are you always like looking for new things?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. We have an amazing gift committee that loves to review that.
And go out and shop. I want to be on the gift committee.
And then a fun thing we did this last year was our second summer after garden season ends, that whole back area is open. And so on Thursdays, we started doing a little farm market.
Oh, okay.
So our wholesale customers that we service that maybe weren't involved in another farm market, so we have them come. So we had everything from honey to flowers and vegetables. Just you name it, and it's back there.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. That'll be something you'll continue again this year?
We will.
Yeah, very good. And so particularly with the bedding plants and all the plants in the springtime, is the mill growing that all out themselves, or do you contract that out to some other greenhouse?
We love to work with our local greenhouses.
Yeah.
We have several that we just keep giving them more and more and more to grow for us.
Okay.
Yeah, that's been a really nice shift, I would say, probably over the last 5 or 6 years that we just keep asking our local greenhouses to grow more.
Yeah.
And then the great thing about that is, unlike if you went to Costco or to Lowe's or Depot, those plants are Alaskan and they're hardened and they live.
Yeah.
And they're healthy.
Yeah. That's always a big pet peeve of mine. People will ask me about, plants that they bought. Oh, I bought some gardening plants and this and it failed. And I always say, well, where did you get it? And they'll mention one of those stores. And I say, well, what did you think was going to happen? That poor plant was, shipped up from the lower 48. It's never been exposed to Alaskan sunlight. It doesn't get our, conditions. Like you got to look for the logo. You got to look for something that was made in Alaska, grown in Alaska, started in Alaska, et cetera. So,
yes.
That's, one of my biggest pet peeves. Where did you get it? Why did you think that was going to work?
I still have friends that don't shop at the mill, and every social event, I shun them. I think,
right? Yeah. Yeah. I guess I can't tell that story on air without naming store names. But my children are, my girls are 8 and 12, and they know that they're not allowed to shop at a certain retail location. And it happens to be located near the movie theater. And an aunt of theirs was taking them to the movie theater, and they stopped in that store to get some candy so they didn't have to pay movie theater prices on the candy. And my girls were like afraid to get out of the car. They're like, we're not allowed to shop here. Mom doesn't let us shop here. So I'm very loyal too. And I'm teaching my kids to be very loyal to local and, supporting our local economy and good neighbors like you guys. And I guess I didn't realize, I guess it just didn't really occur to me, but I love the local bird seed, and it never really occurred to me. I mean, I get it at Three Bears, and I think when I shop at Three Bears that I'm shopping at a local, outlet, but it's your product that they're carrying, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Three Bears is family owned, and they're all local as well. So we're happy to support them.
Yeah.
And just grateful that, as a shopper, even if you have a choice of retail outlet, that you're looking for that Made in Alaska program.
Absolutely. Yeah. So folks can come, downtown to downtown Anchorage, or not downtown, but that part of Anchorage where you guys are located, they can shop there. But your products are available across the state, right? In other outlets. So not just Three Bears, but lots of other places,
I
assume.
But we love when people come to the mill.
Sure. Yeah.
Shop the mill.
Yeah. But for folks, like on the peninsula or, in other locations, I would assume your products are shipped all over the state, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And the great thing about that, whether it's, at Three Bears or Cadre or Wagon Wheel, we have that shared heritage of 30, 40 years with those businesses as well. So that's really nice to support them in those regions.
Yeah, absolutely. So back when Mr. Donatello was involved and he was exporting product outside of Alaska. Are you guys exporting anything today?
We export a little unique animal feed when animals actually get shipped out. So we send things down to the Port Defiance Zoo for their moose. And we do things to Columbus. I think that there was an incident 2 or 3 years ago where we sent out baby moose.
Okay.
And they weren't thriving, and they called us, and I got this phone call, and it was super fun. We had just had this all hands on deck, grabbing 4 bags of moose calf starter and finding boxes to put it in and FedExing it.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a lot of fun. There were a lot of employees involved, and yeah. we got follow-up notes from the zoo. And
oh, cool.
It was a lot of fun.
That's very cool. Very cool. And you guys, Rochelle Plummer with Mat-Su Farm Co-op, she's been a guest on the show a couple of times talking about her chickens and the egg work that she does and all. You know, she's getting chicken meat and eggs in locations that they've never been before. But she worked with you guys to create the feed for her program, right?
She did. Yeah. We were happy to help her. There's actually a lot of producers in the state, not just for chickens,
sure,
but other livestock species that we do custom blends for.
Yeah.
And we're happy to do that. We have a boarded nutritionist
okay.
who is located in Washington with 40 years of experience. And
okay.
so all of our feed formulas, we send out to him to make sure that they're complete and balanced,
oh,
that
wow.
they're meeting the requirements of Alaska livestock.
Yeah.
We're happy to custom formulate for anybody. And a great thing about the feed, this is where my education
yeah.
comes in and I get a little nerdy, but
yeah.
the great thing about the feed is that the feed really complements what your forage program is.
Sure.
So again, it's about that sort of tying in that product together, but you should be soil sampling, you should be testing your hay for nutrition.
Yeah.
And then if you have a big operation, you know, being able to custom make a feed so that that nutrition really gets your feed efficiency going
yeah.
and can produce, way outproduce anything that you're going to else you're going to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Much better results. Another quick reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and in the studio with me this morning is Kimberly from Alaska Mill and Feed. And I would assume with this feed stuff, you know, if you're a dairy producer down in Idaho and you come to Alaska and you want to be a dairy producer in Alaska, you might not immediately go, oh, yeah, I probably need some different feed rations. Or, you know, you might just think that you can do the same thing here. But our livestock has such different demands. They're living in such a different world. Right. So,
yeah.
yeah.
A really good example of a producer on that kind of scale that
yeah.
really has it dialed in is Havemeister Dairy.
Sure. Yeah.
Bob and Jean, from their genetics to how they're growing their hay to our custom ration that we make for them.
Yeah.
They really have that dialed in, which allows them to maximize their milk. And there's nothing better than fresh milk.
Agreed.
We used to have a little tin can on the scoop the cream off and then you'd get yelled at, don't chase the cows.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love the Havemeisters.
Yeah, very good. We were just, and I need to follow up with this, but you were talking about folks can get their products delivered from the mill to their home, right? So there's this new trend, obviously, in grocery shopping where you can shop online and, you know, pull up into the parking lot and they deliver your groceries out to your car, or even get your groceries delivered to your house now, I guess, is a thing that's starting. And I was sitting next to a friend here in a meeting, and she was buying her groceries as we were sitting there in the meeting. And she was like immediately frustrated because she couldn't select Havemeister milk and she couldn't select Vanderwheel potatoes. And I looked at her and I happened to know the store manager of the store. And I was like, well, we got to fix this because you've got to be able to order local. We cannot have this happening. Turns out, just word to the wise, that if you put it in the comments, please substitute milk with local milk. Please substitute potatoes with local potatoes. They will do it. They haven't added it to the app yet, so you can select it. But if you put it in the comments, they will do it. So
very good to know.
Yeah.
And we were doing in-store pickup and delivery out to your car before it was ever a thing. That's
nice.
Just part of our regular
yeah.
customer service.
Perfect. Perfect. Very good. So when you start talking about animals and, shipping feed outside, it got me thinking about some of the unique livestock that we have in the state, like the yak and the muskox and caribou that are in confinement, these types of things. So I would imagine you've worked with all those animals.
We have. Yeah.
That's so cool. Just something that you probably never dreamed that you'd be doing.
No,
yeah.
It's really fun though. Again, that degree comes in handy.
Yeah.
I was up at Lars at UAF,
yep.
and we do a lot of formulation for them and change things depending on what kind of research study that they have going on.
Yeah.
And we're constantly checking each other, right? Is the
sure.
formula right? They're sending out our feed. We're getting results back.
That's great.
But it was fun. I was up there when I first started – and saw Dr. John Blake, and he was giving me a tour, and they had a fistulated muskox.
Okay.
And you're like, what the heck is that?
Yeah.
Right? So it's a hole with a plug that goes into the side of their rumen or their stomach, and you can do all of these feed stuff samples and test how their digestion goes.
Yeah.
And he's like, how do you know what that is? Michigan State.
Yeah, very good. Very good. So, again, my head is just spinning with all of these questions, and I know how quickly we run out of time, so I don't want that to happen. But I'm going to ask you to put on your magic glasses and think about the mill 5 to 10 years from now. What do you see changing? What do you think will still be the same? What do you hope the mill is doing then?
Gosh, I love that question, and it just opens up. Just my heart swells because I have so much pride in what we do and our employees. And
it really shows. You know, you can tell when somebody likes their job or not. And it's very clear that you love your job.
We just have such a great group down there. So what I really sort of see sort of happening now is this transition where my passion, right, for the mill just starts like a wave and it just ripples outward. So our employees are sort of catching on to that enthusiasm. So my hope is that we have a next generation that stays with us.
Sure.
That we have this continuing knowledge of our employees, that they're able to help our customers, whether that's our wholesale customers or retail customers, that in the next 5 or 6 years, we introduce a whole nother generation of Alaskan families to the mill so that they can build those memories that we just have had for the last 70 years.
Yeah.
There isn't anybody that you talk to that's lived up here that doesn't have an I love the mill story.
Right.
So that's kind of our hope. On a grander side, I hope that we put in a brand new, really big greenhouse that we're able to keep open all year round.
Yeah.
I hope that we continue to do tons and tons of education things. If people haven't seen our spring class schedule for this coming year, it starts this weekend.
Okay.
And Saturdays from now through June, we have fantastic classes on planting spring bulbs. Dr. Gerlach, our state veterinarian, is going to be talking to us about chickens. We're doing birch tree tapping, dahlias, beekeeping, seed potatoes.
Is all that
raspberry plant care?
Yeah.
I mean, designing your own herb gardens.
That's awesome.
It's endless.
Is the schedule on the website?
It is on our website.
Okay.
And
perfect.
They have events posted on our Facebook page too.
Okay.
So you can see those.
Very good.
Like those.
Yeah. That was going to be one of my next questions. If you guys, I know that you're on social media, right? You're on Facebook. Are you also on Instagram?
We are on Instagram as well.
Okay.
And we're working, we have some YouTube tips out there, but we're working on developing more of those for both garden and pets and everything in between.
Are the classes, is there a cost to the classes?
Some of them, I think they're $5.
Okay.
Because we have a lot of local experts that are coming in and donating their time to us.
Oh, cool.
So
kid friendly?
We do have them that are, they're all kid friendly, but we have some very specific gardening with kids going on, how to do garden boxes and things.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Well, What's the next big event that's happening at the mill? Because I know you guys are really active in the community as well with fundraisers and raising money for folks. So what's the next big event that you guys are involved with?
Now I feel like I'm going to fail.
Oh, okay. well, probably
Christy
just this.
Christy in our wholesale office is teaching a Chicks 101 class this Saturday.
Like baby chicken
baby
bird.
Chickens.
Okay.
Yep. So if you've never had chickens before, you want to learn about them, it's a great place to start.
Yeah.
It's also a great place to pick up a few extra tips.
Yeah.
So she'll be doing that at 10 o'clock on Saturday.
Okay.
And then we've got demos going on in our doggy diner. Some new products and sampling and fun things. Last weekend we had Friends of Pets that were giving spay and neuters. There's always
something
happening
at the mill.
There's always something happening.
Well, Kimberly, it's been a pleasure learning more about Alaska Mill and Feed this morning. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, and I hope to see you there.
Okay.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.